What up, what up, everybody? It's Double G for the Fight Game Podcast here with John LaRocca. My goodness, there is so much stuff to talk about. Some of it good, some of it pretty negative. We're going to start off with the sad news of the passing of superstar Billy Graham. And I was actually wondering, John, when would you have known of superstar Billy Graham in your young wrestling fandom, because he's before both of our times?
SummerSlam 1988, when he was the on color commentary with the Gorilla Monsoon, and I was like, who's this guy? And he's like, but he had energy, and you know, at that time I was kind of mostly just worried about the action in the ring and what the commentators are saying.
Yeah,
but I just remember him from there. Then I once I got Pro Wrestling Illustrated and I started learning about, you know, former champions of WWF, looking up title histories, then I got, you know, he was a former champ.
So I'm actually surprised it wasn't the year before, because he made a bit of a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where I show my age at this time. He is in the music video for Pile Driver.
Yeah.
That's where you see the superstar in all of his glory. And you kind of like, in the back of my mind, like in my own WWF fan fiction at the time, it's like, oh, Superstar and Hogan, they're buddies. They got to be buddies, right? Like, and, you know, I didn't even really know that Hogan took, you know, almost everything from Superstar. So,
yeah.
But that would have been it. And, you know, his 87 stuff, I would say, very much intrigued me, just because, you know, I am a fan of history, right? Like I've mentioned this before, in that, you know, when you're a kid and you're watching baseball or something, and then like you just sort of realize, you're like, wait, baseball didn't exist today? Like there's like years and years and years of and so I would then go dig in and like start reading, and then just start like dreaming of like, man, I wish I was a Giants fan in 1978 so I could have seen Jack Clark's rookie year. Like, and then you start getting your head about that stuff. I became the same way with pro wrestling at that point. But here's another thing that where I really remember Billy Graham from is during that steroid era. He was on those magazine shows, remember, talking about Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yep. You know, Hogan's doing it, you know, because I was doing it and everybody's doing it. And he went on that crusade of those magazine shows. So, you know, my earliest memories of Billy Graham were like, oh, he's just like this kind of angry old guy. Like, you know, mm-hmm. he just doesn't like, you know, where wrestling is today. And yeah. So I very much remember that. But then through Dave, Big Dave would talk about Billy. He'd write about Billy. And then when WWF decided to do the DVD, and then he wrote the book, which I found fascinating, this dude was talking about how when he took steroids, it felt like his body was growing when he was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Like he made, after reading the book, I was like, I understand why you did them. Like you made your living off of them, but yeah. he made them sound appetizing, and it made me realize. And you know, look, being a baseball fan and a pro wrestling fan, I go back with steroids, you know, longer than most people, and so that was like the first explanation to me of where, like, oh, this is kind of like an addiction at the same time as it is, you know, this drug to help you get bigger and stronger. So,
yeah.
But that book is really good. And that DVD was awesome. Yes. I think it was I don't remember if the book and the DVD were the same title, but it was like 20 years too soon or something like that. And so I zipped through that DVD. I read that book. Dave wrote the review of that book. And, you know, I think we're going to get at least somewhat of a biography tomorrow morning in the mm-hmm. Observer. I don't know if it's going to be the full one, because I was over at Big Dave's yesterday. I was fixing his microphone and just making sure his camera setup was correct, because we've had a few technical difficulties of late. And he was already like sad.
Yeah.
And he was just like, it's a bad day. And, you know, it's not going to be fun. And he was like, you know, he knew like it was really close. And so he was already in a bad mood. And then just later that evening, I think the news came out, Ric Flair posted the thing on Instagram and Twitter. So, yeah, like, I, you know, that's one of those guys where, you know, you kind of wish that, you know, if you could go back in time, like, I would love to see, like, the superstar being superstar, you know, if you could just go back in time a little bit.
I would love to go back to, like, when he showed up in, like, L.A., when he was just a young, young gun teaming with, you know, coming up. And because those guys used to really just, you know, get me excited about, you know, the rookies and stuff, you know, like, not, when he came around, you know, no one looked like him, right?
Yeah.
And then he's got the gift of gab and all that. But you know what? Also, a memory about superstar Billy Graham is just the fact that I felt like this guy had nine lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
I felt like for, you know, Reading the Observer, I felt like every 6 months or so, there was like some kind of bleak story about superstar Billy Graham's health. And then, but he just kept, even when I heard about, I think before anyone said life support, they just said, you know, he's not looking good. I was like, I kind of like, it's superstar. He'll probably just kick
totally
out, you know,
totally thought the same thing.
Yeah. So, but, you know, he was a fighter, great career. I'm so glad. I wish I learned how to clip stuff, you know, and put it on Twitter. I'm not that technical, but I'm glad that someone clipped the match between superstar Billy Graham and Ivan Putski. When Putski gets the big Polish hammer on superstar, superstar takes that great bump and he ends up like landing in the ropes and stuff. And the crowd is going insane. And that match, mostly is an exchange of bear hugs, but the people are rabid, you know, like, and it just built to that moment. And that's on the DVD.
Yeah.
And which was, yeah, I agree. Great DVD. And I remember watching that match and I remember like, oh, this might be not. And I was just like glued, you know, because it's not about doing a bunch of moves. It's the personalities and even the simplest moves like a bear hug. If you really sell and make it big and fight out of it, when they fight out, it means something. And so, I mean, I know a lot of people share or a lot of matches they talk about with superstar Billy Graham are the matches with Dusty Rhodes, the series, the two series, yes. Right? Of course, now, especially with Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
But go back, find that match, you know, and watch it from beginning to end. It's a really good watch and a really good match.
You know what I always wondered is we always heard the story that he was only going to be champion until Backlund was going to take the title off him and Vince Sr. wasn't budging. So after that moment, superstar is hot as fire, just loses the title. Why can't I know why, at least I think I know why, but why doesn't another territory try and recreate that? Is he not allowed to leave? Does he have to stay there? I know the NWA wouldn't, that's not necessarily, he wasn't a good enough wrestler to be the, you know, the NWA champion, but he could have come in and done some title matches. Like, I just feel like, you know, in wrestling today, if somebody is super duper hot and then they lose the title, like, you know, maybe they take a step back, but then they'd be on fire again, like, you know, being the number one contender, or in WWE, I guess you could go to the other brand. But I just always wondered, like, did he just stop? Like,
I'm trying to remember the timeline, because I remember he lost the title. I don't think he just lost it. It was gone. So he was there for a bit longer, and then he does disappear for a while, and then comes back. He's skinnier, bald. He does the kung fu or karate gimmick, right? Which, God, I wish I should contact Oliver John, who does a great drugged out kung fu superstar Billy Graham impersonation. and he comes back in what, 82? Was that 82? I think it was, where he destroys the old WWF title, and Bob Backlund starts crying, and it's a really not a well done for Backlund, at least the way he performed it. And yeah, but he does end up, was it Florida in 84 with the stuff with Sullivan, and it kind of transformed him back. I remember for some reason, I remember him being in a desert and scorpions on him and stuff like that. And he ends up coming back with the tie dye, and, you know, cause he does end up in back in Mid-Atlantic too, with tie dye for a bit. I think that's 85.
I believe he's on that Starcade.
So. Yeah, there's a Starcade where he does an interview, and he may even have a match on one of those Starcades.
And like you were watching, like, I think religiously in 87, where I was kind of spotty in 87. Yeah. So, but going back, I do remember seeing the big vignettes for his return.
Yeah.
But then he had an issue with his hip, right?
Yeah.
And then
they like showed the surgery on
Yeah. So going back, watching that footage, the One Man Gang was the one that, like, quote unquote, took him out to write him out. And I think it was Don Morocco who turned babyface, right?
Wore the tie dye
and was in that position seeking revenge for One Man Game and what Slick did to Superstar Billy Graham. And then apparently Morocco also got Graham's steroids too, because remember he got ridiculous.
He went from the magnificent Morocco to Don the Rock Morocco, and was just giant.
He had the most amazing shoulders, big 45 plates, and they were so vascular.
Yeah,
it looked like a heart rate on it, just, you know, going across. It was nuts. He was, yeah, crazy. But yeah, rest in peace, Superstar. I mean, what a influential, you know, wrestler. Because
I mean, you put together your Mount Rushmore of, you know, pro wrestling influences, he's got to be on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because definitely. You know, Rick was saying he copied, and obviously Dusty copied a lot of the talking.
Hogan, Jesse. Various others.
Austin Idol, right? Austin Idol would have been in that same vein of
early
influencers.
Early Paul Ellering when he was wearing tie-dye and doing, of course, the bodybuilding. And yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, a ton for sure.
So I imagine, you know, I'm actually like, you know, like when you're a little kid and you can't wait to fall asleep on Christmas morning. I kind of feel that way about the Observer, just because I just want to read. Because Dave, like, I don't know if people heard, obviously people heard Wrestling Observer Radio, most people listening to this. But man, I could already tell, like, he's like formulating the writing in his head or you know, just by the stories that he's telling. And he tells this one story about, like, how he finally figured out the kayfabe part of wrestling when he was 10. Because he was telling his friends that Superstar is going to win the title because of, you know, if it just went this way, then he would have won. And his friends are saying, dude, like, he's not winning the title. Like, dude, chill out. Like, this is fake. And so then that, like, this is Dave's moment of figuring out, you know, wrestling. So he was going through those. So can't wait. Read the Observer and all that. So I will also be talking to him tomorrow, and I'm sure we're going to spend a lot of time talking about Superstar. So if you have any questions, shoot me an email, gg@fightgamemedia.com, about the Superstar, and I'll try to get him in. So let's actually get to our thumbs up, thumbs down segment.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
All right, so really big week for AEW. There's still a lot that we don't know about their TV deal. Some, you know, the conversation around the TV deal is a wide scope of a conversation. Some people think that they've re-signed a new deal and it's going to be, you know, pretty landmark deal for them. And others have said, oh, you know, they're just they're taking the option year on Dynamite, and, you know, they're just going to get a little bit of extra for this Collision show. Whatever it is, you know, kudos to Tony Khan and AEW for getting that, you know, part of their deal. Now, I don't know if it doesn't sound like so far that booking Collision is going to be the easiest thing in the world, but, you know, there's a partnership with Warner Media.
Yeah,
looks to be working, and there's a trust there, and it looks like they like AEW. So Tony Khan's going to be my thumbs up. But I will say that last week when we were saying this, how I imagine Tony Khan's going to be our thumbs up, I thought it was going to be a much bigger thumbs up, because things have happened since then that will be in my thumbs down. But I just wanted to kudos Tony Khan. It's big, man. Like, just the fact that we have two working professional wrestling organizations in the U.S. and both are making money and both are highlighted by the networks that they are partnered with. If we could get some of these wrestlers to act civilized, you know, maybe we could do some business. But kudos to Tony Khan and just keeping AEW out there and as the strong number two.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not going anywhere anytime soon, which is great. And like I said, good for wrestling in general. So people, I know they had their favorites and they like to bitch and moan on Twitter. But like, again, like I said last week, it's a smaller group of people than it really is. I think there's a lot of people that just watch both. So and enjoy both for what they, for two different styles that they bring.
You know what? Before you do your thumbs up, I just want to make one more comment, which is our Discord. Mm. You know, the Discord was created because I was kicked off by automated support on Facebook, and I still am not sure why. There's been no human interaction to tell me what's going on. But, you know, our buddy, Kid Machiavelli, Anthony, he was just like, hey, I just made this for you guys. You can use it if you want. No biggie. And it was a little scary for me because I'm like, oh, I just had this experience with Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, Twitter sucks now ever since Elon Musk took over. It was actually starting to suck before he took over. And I was like, I don't know if we, you know, what are we going to do? I did want something, you know, to make sure that people could find us and such. And so the Discord happened. And I really appreciate the Discord. You know, we keep it private just because there are some bad actors out there who, you know, have tried to come in and we've had to remove them and such because they're not there to do anything other than cause trouble. But it's just been really fun. And, you know, you talk about the, you know, you have people who are way more fans of AEW in the Discord than you have fans who are way more fans of WWE in the Discord. And so, you know, we have a good set of people. So those conversations, you know, they can be a little heated sometimes, but overall, you know, just the conversational debate, healthy debate is generally how everything ends up. So I just wanted to shout it out because you saying that just kind of reminded me of like, mm-hmm. we have a really happy place and a fun place where that conversation comes on. And again, we're not letting everybody come in, but if you are interested, shoot me an email, gg@fightgamemedia.com. And we'll let you come through, as long as I know you're there for the right reasons, you know, like on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, they say, if you're not there for the right reasons, then you get the boot, man. But yeah. Okay, go for your thumbs up.
I just want to say those people that cause issues need to go out there and just touch some grass.
I love that. A lot of the people are using that one. And then I guess Punk used it the other day after he was one of those.
I just saw some Instagram video here and I was like, oh yeah, that's a good one. I like that. I like that one. But my thumbs up is going to be a show that I'm going to be reviewing coming up this weekend on the Take It Home podcast on mm-hmm. the Fight Game free feed. Queen of Indies that just happened recently. Wow. I watched an event. I know I kind of switched things up with my podcast, but I had this on my list to cover and I felt I kind of like a completist. So I felt like I had to cover it and I enjoyed a good amount of it. And of course, I'm getting more of the weeds and getting a little deeper in the critiques of the matches and whatnot coming up this weekend. But overall, I enjoyed it. I thought they did a really good job. That was Pro Wrestling Revolution and West Coast Pro Wrestling with conjunction with Marvelous, which is a smaller Joshi promotion out in Japan.
Yeah.
They put on the event and it was an entertaining show and I'm looking forward to reviewing it this weekend for our Take It Home podcast.
It was being tweeted about, at least in my timeline, way more than I even thought it would be. Like there were a lot of people tweeting about that show. You know, obviously my timeline does have like a hardcore wrestling set of folks, and so I saw a lot of those tweets going.
Yeah,
what is up with APW? Is Marcus going to run again?
He's. Right now, he's just enjoying his family time. He's not really looking to rush, but I, you know, Marcus is, he's not looking to rush to waste money, you know, that's not his game. So he's just, you know, family's first for him. And I totally freaking get that. So
100%.
Yeah. I know there's times he does miss it, but right now his mom's, you know, she's had some health issues and stuff. So he's just really into, you know, just stressing about wrestling. He's been enjoying his family time.
He's been sharing. I think he took the boy to WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
and his son was having the time of his, and I'm sure Marcus was too. By the way, we're talking about Marcus Mack, the APW promoter, which is the Bay Area promotion out here. The one that I know the best, and you know, there are now, there are a few others out there as well, but that's the one that I always know because of the movie that they did with Roland in it. So yeah, he was like, he took the kid to WrestleMania, he's meeting all these wrestlers, and Marcus sent me a note because I think, God, who was it? He was Nord the Barbarian. What was his WWF?
The Berserker, John
the
Nord.
The Berserker.
Yeah.
And so he was, he had a photo with the Berserker. I thought that was crazy. I was like, what? I didn't even know that guy was still around.
Yeah, John Nord. Check out, for everyone that, you know, likes to listen to podcasts, there's one I enjoy called AWA Unleashed. And Mick Karsh and Chris Tubbs, they, and... oh shit! I forget the producer's name from AWA that runs. Gosh, Joe Petrick. And they do about AWA history and stuff. And they had John Nord on there for like a two-parter. Freaking entertaining as hell.
Really? So
definitely look that up. He's a really entertaining guy. And I always liked the John Nord.
Yeah.
Nord the Barbarian, Berserker. You know, Lumberjack. I remember him. You know, he's just he was a big guy. So I liked his work. And
yeah,
I didn't know how close he was to Bruiser Brody. I remember him going out there, and I always thought, like, oh, he, you know, when you first see him, you're like, is this guy a copy of Bruiser Brody?
Yeah, copycat.
But now he's like, Bruiser was a good friend and gave the okay and all that stuff. So, and a lot of it was a tribute. A lot of it was a tribute after too, you know.
All right. So we'll get to the thumbs down part, and I'm gonna apologize to John here because mine's gonna be a little bit long. It's going to be about CM Punk, and you know, the thing about this is, I really respect CM Punk for understanding his value and using his leverage to get the things that he wants. That's the history of pro wrestling, right? Every top guy, from Hogan, you know, the whole key is to have enough value to where the company needs you. And thus, you keep your character strong, and it's not the company necessarily who dictates where the character's going. You know, Vince McMahon, you know, he historically has been like, okay, this person is the person until they're not the person. And then we, you know, no hard feelings. This is the business. And then we leave them be. Punk stayed away. His value increased just by staying away. And, you know, he became the big star of AEW. Now, I have respect for that. There are other things that you can have issues with, including the all-out brawl and everything that we've talked about ad nauseum. But he's got this show that is really sort of designed for him, this Collision show on Saturday, which we're kind of excited for because we want to see what the vision is for that show. And he has been, you know, probably for Tony Khan, a little bit of a headache as far as trying to get this show off the ground. Dave and Brian covered it all yesterday on Wrestling Observer Radio, so I'm not going to go over that. My thumbs down is for the behavior of the athlete and the relationship between athlete and journalist, or athlete and reporter, or athlete and podcaster, because the relationship between media and athletes has been the thing that kind of keeps the wheel of professional sports going from the beginning. And this is not to say that people should not be frustrated with media. People don't have to like media. People don't have to believe that their coverage is always fair. Like, there is always a possibility, especially with these wrestling blogs and these news sites where it's really all about getting clicks. There's a lot of bad content out there. So if you are a wrestler who believes you're being mistreated in bad faith, you can call that stuff out 100% for sure. And I have complete respect for that. But in this situation, where you have one of the biggest stars in all of professional wrestling, you kind of want the big stars of professional wrestling to be the face of professional wrestling and to do so in a classy way, because, you know, one thing about professional wrestling is that it's always under the radar because people do not respect it. People think everybody's a carny. People think everybody is just this fake performer. And that is 100% not the case. You look at somebody like Roman Reigns, who he's like, everybody has respect for that dude. Like, he is the top guy in that company for a reason. You look at somebody like Jon Moxley. People have so much respect for Jon Moxley from admitting his issues and coming back from his issues and all of those things. I'm only pointing those two guys out just as, you know, two people who I look at and go, okay, those guys deserve the respect that they get. The way CM Punk handled whatever this situation is with Brian Alvarez was embarrassing. I was sitting there and I was watching the little photos of his Instagram stories come in. And I was just thinking, like, this dude is my age. And he's using Instagram like I would tell my 13-year-old twin stepsons to not use Instagram for fear of looking like a fool. And he is calling out Brian Alvarez. He's, you know, taking screenshots of old emails that without context. He's getting people riled up about, you know, keep my name out of your mouth. And it's like, you know, why does everyone talk about me? It's like, the reason why you have the leverage with Tony Khan is because your fans care, and the liaison between you and your fans is the media, is the podcasters, is the wrestling show. Do you have to enjoy or like or be buddies with Brian Alvarez, Dave Meltzer, Sean Ross Sapp, Mike Johnson, Nick? I see Nick Hausman doing some stuff now. Like, he's getting more out there. No, you don't. But if you have a problem with the coverage, then you take care of that stuff behind the scenes. Hey, here's what you got wrong, and here's what you got right. If Brian is doing something in bad faith and you call him out on it behind the scenes and he continues to do that, then maybe going public is one way to handle. Some NBA players will do stuff like that. They'll make a general claim about the media. But I just look at this guy as the ultimate hypocrite in this moment, which should be a celebration for him as a wrestler, as a creator, as somebody whose name still means something. This could be like CM Punk's last ride here. And the way that he's handling this stuff in social media like a child, I am so embarrassed, because I'm just like, this is one of the guys who we should say he's one of the best guys today. And instead, what he's doing is he's like Donald Trumping the whole situation by creating this divide that you were just talking about, which is, oh, you know, these guys are they're just lying. And it's like, come on, dude, like, who am I going to believe the side of a story? Dave and Brian and Sean and Mike Johnson, or you? Like, come on. Like there are some dumb people who are going to believe things that these guys post just because of who they are. But let's stop playing these childish games. If Brian is wrong, reach out to him and deal with it in private, because he will admit that he was wrong if he was. The problem is I don't think he's wrong, which is why CM Punk is trying to use him in this, you know, thing to create his own PR and create hype for this show. And then now he's frustrated because of all these different things. So that part of it, that's Tony Khan's business. That's Tony Khan's problem. But this media, this dealing with media and making me feel like an idiot for following it because it's so stupid. Like, we need to get over that, and we need to kind of, you know, he needs to grow up a little bit. So that is my whole take on the situation. I probably will not talk about it anymore, but I had to get that off my chest because I was just appalled at the behavior. All right, John, well, first, you could follow that.
Well, no, it won't be that long. Did I miss something? Was it regarding the Ace Steel situation?
I think so.
Okay.
So
supposedly Ace Steel was back, or maybe not back, or was going to come back for Collision, but then Punk, this is what I understand, Punk was upset that Ace Steel is back.
He wants
him backstage, yeah. He'll be back, but it will be only remotely back, right? Or something like that.
He wants his brother Brudai to be with him, and I think the agreement was possibly that brother Brudai would be a consultant, but because of what had happened, maybe not be allowed backstage with all of the talent. I don't know. I don't know exactly that. That's the gist of it. The other part of this is that some will find frustrating is, you know, there were these upfronts yesterday and they were promoting this show and they had to pull Punk's name off of all of the press materials for what we believe may be this reason. It could be other reasons. Like, this is kind of the way that he's been doing things, which is to, you know, pull the old Lucy pulling the football and Tony Khan's Charlie Brown trying to kick it. You know, that's kind of been the way that it's been handled so far. So,
but what we don't know is, obviously we don't know Punk and Tony Khan and Ace Steel's original agreement. So we don't know if, like, maybe everyone thought, or at least Ace Steel Punk camp thought he was back, but then that's probably why they're upset. Maybe it wasn't clear. Should have been put as clear from the start, I would think, you know, everything that was in his what's in his contract, you know, too, that he still has, or maybe who knows?
It would seem that the way to handle it would be like, okay, we'll figure it out. Let's push through. This is a big moment for the company. Mm-hmm. Get this new TV show. I'm a part of it. We'll figure out the details later if they're not clear.
Yeah.
Not the way that it was handled, from what I understand, at least as far as I understand.
Well, I know we usually discuss our thumbs up, thumbs down, but my thumbs down, I don't know what CM Punk, but this whole situation was my thumbs down. So, but I got another one.
Okay.
Home Depot. Whoa. My barbecue arrived on Tuesday, my new barbecue I bought, and they sent the wrong damn one.
Oh, come on, Home Depot.
So I call customer service. I get it all worked out. I said, listen, I have a party coming on this weekend. I need this grill. And I wanted to get it all ready and everything. And so I have a pickup date to re-pick it up because I don't have a big truck right now, right? And so I'm waiting all day today when they're going to pick up the one that's wrong. The new one's coming tomorrow, right? As we're recording, it's Thursday night. It comes on Friday. They're picking up. Now, their window, this is what they tell you at Home Depot. Their window is 6 a.m. to 8 o'clock at night. That's your window. And I'm calling. They go, oh, yeah, they're scheduled to be picked up today. Well, I have my children's recital at 7 o'clock. I had to skip it because I'm waiting for them to pick up this damn thing. And they did not come. They did not come. So, F you, Home Depot, Capital Expressway, number 66, store number 662 in San Jose, California, 95136.
Screwed up my day. I just grilled for the first time, you know, this year, just today.
Yeah, I had a hand-me-down for a while, and it was just time for, time to get it's a new thing going. So I was really excited, and, you know, we have this, my son's fifth birthday this weekend on Saturday. We're having the kids' party Saturday, but then we're having, like, more of the family party on Sunday, which is his actual birthday on the 21st.
Yeah.
And, you know, plan on grilling some burgers and dogs, and, you know, so hope that's still the plan for the pivot. So, but I confirmed that the original one I ordered is coming, or the correct one is coming tomorrow. So,
okay.
I'll update.
Cross your fingers that it is the right one and they don't send you the wrong one again.
I might be calling corporate. You know, my mom has a history of getting deals from complaining.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
She seems so sweet and innocent, but she can be a bulldog when it comes to being.
You just need to try it. Mm-hmm. When we were in Disneyland, Disneyland has this thing called Genie Plus. And so if you go to a ride, or actually, no, you have the app and you can schedule to go to this ride if you have this pass. I think it's like $100 a person.
Whoa.
So you're already at Disneyland. Let's say you want to go on the new Star Wars ride. And, you know, that's a very popular ride. So you get there at like 10 o'clock and you, 2 o'clock, I get in the Star Wars ride. And so this, you know, this is your pass. You check in and you go through and you don't have to wait in the long line. You only wait in the Genie Plus line. So both of the times we wanted to use it, right as we were in line, the ride goes out of order.
Oh.
So we're like, the only reason we bought this to go on these like really popular rides, and they all went out of order. So then Crystal sent the little email like, hey, you know, just wondering what's going on here. Every time we tried to use Genie Plus, it, you know, the ride was out of order. So this was like kind of a waste of time. So we didn't need it for anything else. And they're like, yeah. They just gave us our money back. So
cool.
Good on Disneyland. Hopefully Home Depot treats you the same.
Well, they're going to hear about missing my kids singing. Missed all that.
We'll have to send them the little clip. We'll put the clip on Twitter if they screw up again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'll go to Chris Jericho. I'll go to Jericho. Gimmick. Complaining. Because he was verbally and mentally assaulted by some baggage.
Yeah, they were giving him the business or something.
They just laughed at him. He got upset. But yeah, so my thumbs down was this Hulk. I mean, I'm like, what the F happened? You know, I'm busy at work, but I jump on Twitter and check things out here and there. And I was like, what? I mean, I just figured he wasn't on the graphic this past Wednesday because they're just saving that one more week for the big announcement or something, or, you know, and then I come out, I'm like, wait, what? Ace Steel? I thought he was, you know, done with it. But yeah, wacky stuff, man. I really hope they can all work things out because.
Yeah, no, I hope so too. I hope that, you know, I hope Collision is the CM Punk show and we get to see what that vision is.
Because what becomes of that show with no CM Punk? I mean, it's just, you know, Rampage now on Saturday.
Exactly. So. That's I mean, that's what we hope it's not. That's the blueprint to death for that show, if it is. All right. I think it is time.
The big picture.
For new listeners, the big picture is our look at AEW Dynamite. We don't recap it segment by segment. We look at it from the picture of what are the big matches and what are the storyline for those big matches. And that is how we will begin the big picture. And there are pay-per-view matches already signed. So we'll use the guide of what has been signed as our guide for the big picture here. Main event is MJF versus the other pillars who, after Wednesday night, I don't know. What is the next level down from pillars? Because not great for those three young gentlemen on this evening.
Yeah, that was. What'd you think of all that? I mean, I just I was left scratching my head the booking of the all three. I thought it was just not a way to really get me excited for this four-way. I mean,
I will say they did something that, you know, I hate to say this is an AEW thing versus a WWE thing, but in WWE's worst times, sometimes what they would do is they would take a program and you're kind of interested in it. And then by the time the match comes, you're like, God, this sucks. And they did that for this program. We've already talked about ad nauseum on how it was kind of booked a little bit backwards and such. But so this is the week to try and get these guys over, right? You know, let's get these guys over. No one believes either of the three have a chance to beat MJF. And, you know, let's try and do that. So first thing is squash match. Sammy Guevara wins squash match. And he just starts doing a babyface promo. And I started to think back. I was like, wait, wasn't it just like a few weeks ago where MJF paid him to lay down and he was like, yes, I'll take this money. And then he got his feelings hurt because MJF didn't want him to ride in the limo. But they were still buddies and they're still kissing each other on the forehead. Then what happened after that? Because now he's just like a babyface.
Because he's in his hometown, Garrett. He's in his hometown of Texas. So he has to, he's going to get cheers. So he has to be this rah-rah emotional speaker babyface for some damn reason. Why can't Sammy just be the cocky, arrogant prick and MJF be the cocky, arrogant prick? You know, like, that's why I like Sammy. I like Sammy as a heel. He's just a natural.
See,
heel.
I thought that the wink-wink was going to be that Sammy's telling MJF he's going to do all this stuff, but really he just wants to win the title. So you get some moments in that match where he tries to steal the pin, and MJF's like, "What are you doing, bro?" And he's like, "Sorry, you know, my bad. I couldn't help myself." And we have that story, but now it looks like they dropped that stuff unless something happens next week and they pick it back up. But anyway, Sammy does this babyface promo, and I think the fans are just confused. They're just like, "What is going on here?" So then
Darby.
There's the Darby match. And so it's Darby and Orange Cassidy against Lee Moriarty and Big Bill. Now, I really liked Big Bill in this match. I kind of like Big Bill a lot. Unfortunately, there's not really a role for Big Bill in this show, in this company. But I find him to be very intriguing big man, and I wish they had plans for him, because I like if you flip-flopped him in the Wardlow role, I think that situation with Christian is like much hotter.
I mean, without the Luchasaurus,
just put Big Bill against Christian and like flip-flop him with Wardlow. Is that program more interesting if it's Big Bill in the Wardlow spot?
Big Bill's he's definitely a better promo than Wardlow. I like Big Bill. When he came back to Impact, he was very impressive, not just his wrestling and his look, his body, but his promo was more than just a catchphrase from the WWE. But he hasn't been able to show any of that in AEW.
Nope.
He debuted in AEW, lost to Wardlow. He's been losing to much smaller guys. We were there live when he lost to Orange Cassidy on the opening match of Dynamite in San Francisco. So he's just been a loser. He's a guy that if Tony Khan really sees that this guy could be something, he might need to take him off TV for a while and kind of repackage him or reintroduce him somehow in about 6 or 7 months and do something like that. But yeah, I thought this match shouldn't have been Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy's tag team versus Big Bill and Lee Moriarty. It should just simply have been Darby Allin versus Big Bill. Darby Allin beating Lee Moriarty means nothing, right? But Darby Allin versus Big Bill, the smaller guy, overcomes the giant here. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not thinking about protecting Big Bill.
You're thinking about getting Darby ready.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's the goal. And I just thought that Orange Cassidy, Lee Moriarty, just kind of just muddy the picture there. It's like best. It's just you have a pay per view coming up. Orange Cassidy has something going on, I guess, which we'll talk about. But Darby is in your main event for your world title, right? Yeah. So focus on him. And I didn't like this match at all. I thought this match was just a lot of stuff frustrating. I got to talk about this Bryce again. This referee, man, just drives me insane. So there's a part where Big Bill picks up Darby Allin up for the vertical suplex. And Lee Moriarty jumps in the ring, draws the referee, and then Orange Cassidy, while he's in the suplex, tags out to Darby. But when the referee turns around, he didn't see that, so he stops Darby, and the crowd starts to jeer, right? So, and the referee, Bryce, as the fans are getting upset and booing him, he turns and puts his hands like, "What? You know, I didn't see it." Now you're egging the fans on to keep giving you more heat. And if you're not you don't get the heat, buddy. It's not for you. You don't acknowledge them like that, because now the fans are going to acknowledge you more. And that's when they say this ref sucks, et cetera, et cetera. At the same time, the heels didn't really do anything to capitalize on, you know, the referee with Darby. Lee Moriarty just simply went back into the corner, and Big Bill was able to reverse, you know, finally get the suplex. So it was a mess all around. That just drove me nuts. And then afterwards, when the Bayfaces or Orange Cassidy finally made a tag to Darby Allin, the referee Bryce makes tag and looks at the fans. See, I saw it. Fuck, dude, I would. Oh man, he's lucky he don't move with Bill Watts. I think Bill Watts would stuff in the garbage can, throw him outside. But yeah, but back to my original point, it should have just been Darby versus Big Bill. Darby gets the big win, and you're just, you know, building him up to the main event for the title.
I didn't dislike this match. The AEW opening match is literally just to get the fans excited, and so it's fast and it's kind of nonsensical at times, and so it's just kind of what they do. It's the blueprint, but they flip the blueprint a little bit, and we'll talk about this in a second. But the Wardlow thing opens, and that thing is flatter than all hell. So then this match, I think they're probably like, man, we just got to go fast, because you know we gotta get this crowd going. So, but the problem with this thing was after the match, because those guys get jumped. And then, who was it? Was it, no, because it was,
no, it, the heel, I have it here in my notes. The heels attacked after the match. No, that was Jungle Boy versus.
Right. Bruce. Yeah. I conflated that. So Darby is on the mic, and then Sammy comes out. Is that what happened? I deleted my notes. So let me.
I know Sammy cut a Bayface promo after he won a match. No, because there's a Bucks entering the building and then getting attacked. There was a Wardlow.
Yeah, I'll find it.
Promo in the back and Orange Cassidy promo in the back, and then we get Sammy versus, you know, Optimus Prime, and then and then he cuts his Bayface, you know, rah-rah promo.
I'll find it, because I had a note here and I just forgot what it was. Okay, so so the match, Darby Allin applied the side headlock on Lee Moriarty to get the win. That's what it was.
But I think what you're talking about is after the Roosh Jungle Boy match, when all three-fourths of the pillars were in the ring, and that's when you had Oh, no, some promo with Darby. That's what happened. Whatever. They all got together, and there's some mutual respect now with all
three. Yeah, Sammy just basically said to Darby, like, I'm not laying down for MJF. And then he was like, one of us got to beat that guy. And that's when I was just like, okay, like, come on now. Yeah. Like, that's the babyface. You know, now the babyface doesn't even care if he wins, and that's how giving he is. Like, come on, you were just a dickhead 2 weeks ago.
I'm gonna say Jungle Boy turns heel and joins up with MJF.
I think Jungle Boy's turning heel too, but I kind of wonder if he ends up with Christian.
Christian, and I don't want to say MJF and Luchasaurus, though. That looks too ridiculous.
So here's why. Remember last week when we were talking about Christian cutting the promo for Jungle Boy last week in that video?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's something to that. Like, there could be something that I don't know. But I expect Jungle Boy to turn heel. Okay, so let's get to this Jungle Boy match. It was Jungle Boy and Roosh. Did Jungle Boy's like spitting his cereal on accident or something? Roosh just kicked his ass and gave him nothing in this match.
Lucha's going to Lucha. I think what it was Roosh in Texas, close to the Mexican border, a lot of Mexican fans. Roosh was a, you know, main eventer in Mexico and was doing the job and was like, I'm taking, you know, majority of this match because I'm going to lose. And that's usually what happens a lot of the time, but not to this effect where he just completely destroyed Jungle Boy. And it's like, dude, this guy has no chance in this four-way to win the belt. You know, why shouldn't Roosh be in it? You know,
Preston Vance, maybe even Jose, they all kicked Jungle Boy and Darby's ass in this match.
Jungle Boy gets the pin by a desperation cradle, and he holds the tights to beat Roosh.
He pulled the tights it was very apparent. He didn't try to like go oops, like,
and
he
then
pulled those tights.
Preston Vance comes in, beats him up. Jose's beating him up. So of course this is for who comes out first. Darby comes out first. Darby comes out to make a save, and he gets his butt kicked.
Preston
right away
Vance beats Darby's ass.
Just, and they're like, I'm supposed to be excited for these guys challenging for the title. Like, Darby could at least duck one under someone and hit Jose with something. And maybe as he hits Jose with something and from behind, Preston Vance got him, you know, like, what an unexciting save. And maybe because we want Sammy to have it all. But Darby, him getting nothing in that save really made him look bad, in my opinion.
Yep. And so you have Sammy coming out, and then they even the odds. And to me, having to even the odds against those three dudes because of the manager made them look so weak. And then right after, MJF is with Renee. He just slaps the mic out of her hand. Like, what were you mad about, dude? You're facing the three worst guys ever. You're going to win this match easily.
Well, I'm hoping on Rampage, and someone report back, and I'm not going to watch it, that I'm hoping that MJF has a promo that he's pissed that he paid X amount of dollars to Roosh to take out Jungle Boy and he failed. I don't know. You know,
should he be pissed at Sammy for being a babyface?
Yeah. And then, I know. So yeah, this is ridiculous. And then it got even more ridiculous because 9 hours ago on Twitter, Jungle Boy posted a picture of him and Roosh and said, respect, Roosh is a beast. We'll do it again one day. And then Roosh, the guy that, you know, just destroyed him and made it look like garbage, goes, any opponent or wrestler that has the balls to stand up after a beating of their life has my respect. You have the willpower to win the heavyweight title. And when you do, we'll meet again and I will take that title from you at a big event. What the hell is going on here? God, wrestlers shouldn't be on Twitter sometimes.
Just be happy that they're not bookers.
Roosh does this. I mean, he's just like that one ROH pay-per-view when Bandido finally won the title and beat Roosh. Bandido won the same way. Like, Roosh kicked his ass and Bandido won the belt. I think he did hit his finish, if I remember correctly. But then after the match, he's got laid out by all the, you know, Los Ingobernables in Mexico. And then, like, that got the guy over, you know? Like, oh, man. But Roosh, you know, as someone at the time who was working for ROH mentioned to me when I was bitching about that, he goes, well, Lucha's going to Lucha. So now I would say Lucha's going to Lucha. So there you go.
All right. Another signed match for this upcoming pay-per-view is FTR defending their titles against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. After last week where Mark Briscoe sprayed the champagne in Dax's eyes, and then he got pile-driven, and or not Mark Briscoe, Sanjay Dutt did it, and Mark Briscoe's trying to help. Mm-hmm. So the champs, they come out. They're about to come out and do something, and then they get attacked by the challengers. And so there's this fight, and in the midst of this fight, who makes her debut in AEW?
Yes.
None other than the Heat Magnet, Karen Jarrett, comes in with a low blow, which allows Satna Singh to do this. Really fun. Like I say impressive, but it's not that impressive in that it's like this feat of strength. It just looked pretty sweet because he's such a big dude. Double choke slam on the tag champs, leave him laying. I mean, this entire the whole Jarrett and Jay Lethal team, it's just about like trying to get old school heat on FTR. So it stands out as different from how these guys are usually booked to get heat on this show. And so I like it because it stands out. And Karen Jarrett is a really good performer. I imagine she's going to be, again, a heat magnet when it comes to this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't imagine that they're going to win the titles, but that would be a way to continue the program because Jarrett and Lethal are very entertaining. But I think this program is really designed to make FTR, you know, like the best tag team, you know, in the business. But for whatever it is, I don't know if I'm really looking forward that much to the match because, you know, I know Lethal will be great and Jarrett will be good in spurts, but I just don't sense that it's that competitive of a match unless there's like some heel tomfoolery going on where the heels sneak out of the match with the champ with the belts because of cheating.
And it was just not too long ago too that we just saw Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett challenge the claim for the title and not come out with the mm-hmm. title. You know, they had that dusty finish for a little bit, but other than that, it was. But you know, claim won that short program. So, but usually it's okay. I'm not saying like that's it. They should never get another tag team title shot. But you see, you know, you kind of make them come back up again to get that title shot. They kind of like quickly went and got it again, right?
Yeah.
So, I love Karen Jarrett. I popped when I saw this. This is my favorite. One of my. I think she's like you said, a great performer. I dig her. I think she's really attractive. You know. So I'm cool with Karen Jarrett being on my television set and on NAAW. I think she'll be good. But my favorite part of this whole segment, this was a shit segment, by the way, because first of all, now the idea of the match for a tag team title of the pay-per-view is that Mark Briscoe is going to be the impartial referee because these are his friends, right? Yeah. Jay Lethal is one of his best friends, and FTR, the mutual respect there. And
respect.
He tolerates Jarrett because of Lethal, right?
Yeah.
But wouldn't you just see what happened to his, what these heels did to FTR on this? So wouldn't he be, you know, will he still be impartial or be more for FTR? Can he be impartial now for what Lethal and Jarrett did?
Yeah, we needed it. We needed the segment of Briscoe going to TK and Briscoe going like, dude, I can't do this. Like, I hate these guys now. And TK going like, nope, sign the contract. You're going to be impartial.
Yeah.
You got to do it, you know, somebody. He's got to have that conversation with somebody because, yeah, those guys are getting jacked around, man. These dastardly heels are jacking them around.
Again, I love Karen Jarrett. Love seeing her. And I also enjoyed Sotnam getting pushed into those tables because he just turned into it like jumping into a ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese. He's like, it just turned. The way he fell into it cracked me up. And why are those two tables there, Garrett?
I don't know.
Why are they on the other side? I guess, you know, just there. Just in case, you know, just like kendo sticks are under the WWE rings for some damn reason, I guess.
Yeah. you got to set it up. They're playing the long game, man. They're like,
yeah, okay.
You know, if we have the chance to push this dude into these tables, we're going to make sure that we do it. So, you know, it's entertaining because it's different. I enjoy Jeff Jarrett. I imagine if we got, you know, 5-minute promos every week with him. Every week it would get old, but it's not old yet, so I'm totally fine with it. Wardlow and Christian, on the other hand,
ugh.
I had high hopes for this because my thought was, even though they were teasing Luchasaurus, I was like, you know, I kind of feel like it's Christian, and I think Christian is the right guy
yes.
for Wardlow to work with because he's really smart. He knows how to get the babyface over, and Wardlow will come out of this looking better than he came in. So they start the show with Wardlow in the ring, calls out Christian immediately. It's about spitting in his face and this and that. And, you know, he doesn't see this giant human with this dinosaur mask, like sitting over to his right. Like he has no, Luchasaurus must have been invisible to Wardlow here because he has tunnel vision for Christian.
Yeah.
And then as he's about to get Christian in his power bomb, then all of a sudden Luchasaurus attacks him, and then he gets hit low, which is the second they did that twice on this show, hit low blows to the baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like dummy Wardlow, you know, like you just like meathead Wardlow gets beat up because he's not smart enough to evade the heels. It's not like, now if Luchasaurus came out from the crowd and beat him up, they're like, okay, like you can't really see that one coming. But the dude is like right there. He's like literally, like he could have been handcuffed to Christian. He was so close to him.
It's the first set. Could he be in the ring?
Yeah.
You know, like, this was horrible. But continue on, because there's more to come.
So I didn't like Wardlow's promo. I thought it was flat. Christian, you know, Christian usually is a heat magnet himself, but he didn't actually get the mic, so he wasn't able to do that. And so then you smash cut to Arn Anderson in the back, and I'm just like, what the F? Why didn't Arn cut that promo? Why isn't Arn out there with this dude? And he's like, nope, that's why I told you. I didn't want you to come out there. I was like, dude, you didn't want him to come out there so you could get beat up like a dummy? Like, what is going on? And then he goes, hey, this is what I want. I'm glad you brought this ladder out and hit me with it, because I want a ladder match.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, my whole idea to make this program really good for Wardlow just went right out of the window, because there's no psychology he's going to gain from being in a ladder match. That's the one match he shouldn't be in, is the ladder match.
And it's just dumb to book their first match in a ladder match. It's just Tony Khan freaking out because tickets aren't selling. I think eventually he'll do fine once it gets closer to the pay-per-view, but like, he's just kind of like, he's overbooking, because I mean, that's the only thing I kind of understand why he's doing this. But this was so bad in many ways. You already pointed out the fact that the Luchasaurus is right there ready to attack if he does anything to Christian. So he's in a lose-lose situation there. And then when he starts fighting with Luchasaurus, it looked so bad.
Yep.
Punches they were throwing. And it's not just Luchasaurus, it's also Wardlow. Just looked horrible. And then they get the ladder and they beat on Wardlow. And nobody is coming out. No referees. No security. No baby faces. Arn Anderson, not. And then, you know, why can't Arn Anderson just come out after and with his arms waving, come on, and help some baby faces come out to help out? What's Brock Anderson doing?
Yep.
Nothing. And then the first match after this, out comes Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy. So they were right there behind that curtain. They are baby faces, and Darby Allin, they're both top baby faces in this company. They don't come out. So they look like assholes, you know, after we just saw Wardlow get his ass kicked 2-on-1, and now here he comes, these dudes.
They should have been in the promo with Wardlow and Arn, and they would have been like, dude, we wanted to come too, but you told us not to come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You told the whole locker room not to come, apparently. God, this was so bad. Really
now,
bad.
And now I'm not interested in this match at all. And I was really interested in the match before they put the stipulation in.
Yes. It's just like Roddy Strong and Chris Jericho, their first match has to be a falls count anywhere. Just a lot of, like, again, overbooking BS, man.
So in these seven matches that are official, Pillars is a four-way. For the world title, is a four-way. You have a tag team championship with a special guest referee. You have the TNT Championship match in a ladder match. You have Orange Cassidy defending in a battle royal. The only singles matches without any sort of stipulation are the two women's title matches, Hayter and Toni Storm, and Jade Cargill and Taya, because the other one is the Anarchy in the Arena, at least right now. What is officially signed right now?
I'm surprised Taya and Jade won't have I won't be surprised if a stipulation is added to that match, because just because they already had a regular single. Well, they also had.
Well, the first match had the stipulation. Yeah. You can't use my move, or you're gonna get lose. Whatever it was.
You can't use my move match. Oh God, this pay per view, man.
You know, I've had this conversation with other people about whether or not this show is kind of a, you know, overlooked because, you know, everyone's looking forward to Collision when that's supposed to start in a month. You have the Forbidden Door show, which sold out or like way in advance. And this one hasn't even moved, you know, 7,000 tickets, or maybe that's what it's at right now. Mm-hmm. In that T-Mobile Center, which the UFC sells out for every single show. And then you have this Wembley show that is kind of like the big show, and that, you know, that sold, and so many tickets sold there. So those are like the things that everyone's like talking about. And then this Double or Nothing pay-per-view kind of like is overlooked, I feel like.
Most definitely. Very much overlooked. Now I want you, you're going to be there in Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm. Crystal's going to be there too. Her first wrestling event.
Then I'm going to have to, well, I'm going to have Crystal ask this question. Just because if you don't. So I assume you'll be working with Dave. You're going to be busy interviewing some people. Hopefully not too much, but
I kind of hope not. But
I know
if he does want to do something, I will definitely try to help.
You need to ask Tony Khan if you interview that guy, and ask him about the overbooking of not say that, but you know, ask him about like the, you know, too many stipulations and how ask him about that. I want to see what he says, what he feels. Maybe he's gonna say it's a big show, but we also saw. We saw False Count Anywhere on this show. We also saw No Holds Barred on last show. A steel cage match on last show. Before that, there was something. I'm sure that before that, there was something else. You know, doesn't you're diminishing your returns on it. Like, it's just nothing feels special.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So the Orange Cassidy. So we know that he and Darby won the tag match, and so he's with Renee, and Renee's like, you know, what's going on with your next match or whatever. And he's like, all comers, like whatever he said, you know, anybody can ask if they want a shot. And so then they come back like, I don't know, 20 minutes later. And Renee's like, oh, by the way, like 20 people ask, from what I understand, that they want a shot at you. And he's just like, oh, 20. And then they just made the 21 man blackjack battle royal out of those two segments.
Well, he is the part of the best friend group who last week, for their stipulation that they got to pick, no witches at ringside versus the House of Black. So. Yeah.
Not the smartest guys is what you're saying.
Yeah. So Kyle Fletcher, didn't he attack him last Orange Cassidy last week?
Yeah.
Is that match supposed to happen or something's wrong with
Maybe it happens on TV. I don't know. I assumed similar. I was like, oh, I wonder if he's going to be the next guy. But I didn't think he was going to be on the pay-per-view because he's still, you know, he's not unknown. They've been on AEW shows before, but they're not really pushed as a regular act. So, and then you're going to put that guy as a single when he's only known as a tag. So I didn't think that was going to be the match, but, you know, they have so many people.
Well, the 20 people that are at this pay-per-view now, I'm happy for them for the payday, for being on pay-per-view. But man, if they're, you know, now they're not gonna come out looking good. they know where they're at in the pecking order. It's like when WWE would do the thing where the whole locker room has to come out for a big old discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, Undertaker and John Cena and others don't really have to come out.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, those. And the people that are stuck at ringside, the mavens and the whoever, like, yeah.
I mean, what they should have done or what they could have done is do a little bit of a longer thing with Orange Cassidy and Bandido where, you know, all of a sudden Bandido's like, oh, you know, I kind of like us together. And then, you know, they win some matches, some tag matches. And then finally he's like, you know, I want another shot at this, even though we're buddies now. Like, they could have done something like that. That would have been better than this. But, you know, they wanted to get a lot of people on the show, so that's commendable from Tony's standpoint. But B, like battle royals and ladder matches, and it's just like, man, let's figure something else out. Because when I hear AEW, when I hear ladder match, and when I hear battle royal, I do not get excited. It's like the opposite. It's like, again, like we're doing this again. That's how I feel.
Why can't Miro just come back and destroy him?
He might. he's going to be on, supposed to be on that Collision show.
And who knows where that international belt's going, if they're even doing that kind of stuff.
I think it would make sense that folks who have titles could probably be on both shows, right?
Unless they're creating more belts. I wouldn't doubt it. Mr. Tony Khan, he says he has 25 belts back there that he hasn't debuted yet, I think he said, or something. He has a bunch of belts or something, he said.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we have Jamie Hayter and Toni Storm. So how did we get there? We got there in a very weird way. It was supposed to be the six-woman tag match between the Outcasts and Britt, Jamie Hayter, and Sheeta. And I was actually looking forward to the match because I don't dislike the storyline. I don't always like the matches themselves, but I think the women, you know, play the characters pretty well. I know Saraya gets a lot of stuff because, you know, she's WWE and you can't take the WWE out of her or whatever, but I find her entertaining. Mm-hmm. I like Toni Storm. You know, Ruby's kind of like, she's kind there of in the middle because she was just a babyface and now she's a heel. And, you know, she never wins the big one. So that's on her as well. And on the other side, you know, Jamie Hayter's she's a star. I really like seeing her. I like Britt, the personality, and, you know, Sheeta is entertaining. So I was kind of interested in this match. And all of a sudden, before the show started, you know, this news, oh, Tony Khan said that Jamie Hayter's hurt, or AEW announced Jamie Hayter's hurt, so that now the match is a tag match. And so they switch it to a tag match. If Dave says that the injury is a work.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe
Toni Storm pins Britt in this match, and then Renee says she's won 4 matches in 5 days, and thus Toni Storm says that makes me the number one contender, so that is the match. This was weird. Like, if Jamie Hayter wasn't really hurt, why does it get booked in this way?
Maybe they want to where they don't want Jamie to lose to Tony, but they want, you know, Tony to have a reason to challenge again for winning and beating Britt. You know, I don't know. I can see it, I guess, but I'm okay. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the storyline. I know you are. I don't mind the Outcast. Actually, I like Saraya when she's a manager than she is a wrestler.
Yeah, she's much better as the mouthpiece and as the person, kind of, you're like, oh, she's probably like in control of this thing, and, you know, better than when she's in the ring.
Yeah. So though it was a bummer not to see Jamie Hayter out there, because I do like her as well. Is in the same time it took Saraya the match, but Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter had that great match at, was that November review? Was that when it was? That when she won the belt? Yeah. Jamie Hayter won the belt in November.
Yeah, I liked the match. I just thought it was
really good.
I thought it was weird to get to it.
It is weird to get to, but this whole show, this whole build to this pay-per-view has been weird to get to with a lot of these matches. So,
you know, I was telling some folks in our Discord that I enjoyed the AEW show because I watch it differently now. Like before, when we were doing the segment by segment, I'm literally just writing a page of notes. And so now I pull back and I just watch it. And I can enjoy a lot of the chaos for being what it is. And it's not until I actually write my notes down and I kind of go, okay, where are the situations here? Does this make sense? It's not. That's where I was frustrated with, is in the continuity and in what didn't make sense in these programs. I was mostly okay with the wrestling. I thought it was an entertaining show. But when you actually then put together what makes sense and what doesn't, that's where my frustration with the show came from.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
All right, let's get to Chris Jericho. They haven't announced this match yet, so I'm kind of jumping the gun, but it was such a big part of this show. Chris Jericho, Roderick Strong, False Count Anywhere. It was a wild brawl all over the stadium. My favorite part was when Roderick Strong put the ice cream in Chris Jericho's eyes, because with Jericho sweating and with his hair all in his face, it was really funny with all the ice cream in his face. And he actually had to go into a garbage can and get pieces of paper in the garbage can to take the ice cream off of his face because it was so much in his eyes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We knew where this was going. Adam Cole was banned from the building, as was Jericho Appreciation Society. I was entertained for the most part. Roderick Strong, he's almost too serious at times, and I think that's probably, you know, what most people would consider maybe a small fault of his, is his personality doesn't really, is unless he's serious guy, he doesn't have much of a personality. But I liked him in this match. He was really fighting his ass off for his buddy. It's like, man, he's such a good friend to Adam Cole. Like, you know, just fighting Jericho. This is Adam Cole's fighting. Roderick Strong is fighting for his buddy. And, you know, Jericho's some comedy stuff and the way that he's selling stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think there was like a box of utensils or something that was kind of goofy. But then they get to the outside. And this is where I didn't like it. So Adam Cole. So first, Roderick Strong, he starts begging off of Jericho. And I was like, I know where this is coming from. And he's tricking Jericho.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see him beg off like that, because it made, like, if you don't, and maybe it doesn't matter because you see the Adam Cole piece, but I was like, no, don't beg off. Like, get the guy to fall for it without having to look like that. So Adam Cole's behind Jericho, jumps Jericho. They're in the dirt. Adam Cole hits his finisher, and then Roddy hits his finisher, and they pin Jericho. So my problem with this is it sort of makes Jericho kind of smart, because I'm sure he had a lot of input into this creative. It took these guys who are fighting for the love of Adam Cole's life, they're fighting for her honor, and it takes both of them to hit their finishers for Roderick Strong to win. I thought it made them come out weak. And it makes Jericho the heel. He's the one who had the handicap in this thing, because his buddies weren't out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it made the baby faces look weak.
Yeah, it did. It was ridiculous. First of all, before we get to Adam Cole coming in, though I don't agree that their first match, their first meeting, should have been falls count anywhere. But in a vacuum, if you just look at this match on its own before Adam Cole's involvement, I thought it was a really good falls count everywhere match. It was wild. It was crazy.
Very
it was
entertaining.
Physical. Roddy brings it. I miss guys like that that bring it. He reminds me a lot of Chris Benoit, you know, just bringing the thunder. That first knee to the face. Holy shit. Roddy's kind of like has that rep of just getting too excited and going fast. And I don't think Jericho was ready for that, obviously, and took that knee right away into the face. Even Taz was like, yeah, that fucking hurt. Like, he was like, yeah, you know, he was like, it was, he recognized it quickly that that was not a good one. And I thought, uh-oh, you know, I thought maybe Jericho was going to be donezo. They wouldn't be able to do this match. But no, Jericho, you know, toughed it out. And Roddy brought it. And I like that he brought it, because I think it brought something out of Jericho, you know, too, because Jericho had a fight back. I liked all the craziness in the building, and the, you know, I liked the fans getting really close up there. Scary at times, look chaotic, look just, you know, fans just jumping in, and it reminded me of like the Monday Night War days, right?
Yeah, when they yeah, it did like very much so.
But then we get the part we're talking about.
Yeah,
the Bay Faces have to. Well, first, this is Adam Cole basically got revenge, right? Why we need to do a match? I mean, he got his revenge. He got physical revenge on him. He hit his finish. He, you know, Jericho's laid in the dirt.
Yeah.
Like, what's next? And, of course, they're going to have a singles match at the pay-per-view. I assume it's going to be probably some kind of stipulation match. And
well, if Britt is not in a match, I wonder if it's going to be some sort of mixed tag.
It could be with who, though?
Anna Jay is on his side, I guess.
I guess, or Tay Conti, I guess, too, right? She's
right.
Yeah, how does that work? So, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm sure that somehow Britt's going to be involved in that, obviously. But maybe Britt in the shark cage? I don't know. I don't know. It's just, I didn't like. I thought, well, shit, there's Cole's revenge. Why are we even doing the match? I guess it's over, right? But so it's really silly. I didn't like that finish, especially to a before their pay-per-view match. I don't know. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but glad to see Roderick Strong in here. I mean, he's the real, like, best friend. Like, not those goofy guys. That's the best friend right there.
Well, let's hope they don't forget him after this match.
So the other thing, the reason why I looked at it from that perspective is because I want Adam Cole to be like this giant baby face, like this guy. Like, he's fighting for his girlfriend's honor, and he didn't need his buddy there. I mean, that was the design of it, but that's the part. I want him to be like the baby face of all baby faces because they desperately need one, and I don't know. Stone Cold Steve Austin, didn't need whoever was the baby face underneath him to fight Vince McMahon. Like, he just beat up Vince McMahon.
I mean, you know what's interesting about that is that, like you said, you want Adam Cole to be this, you know, giant baby face protecting his lady's honor. I think minus the people chanting this entrance and into the Adam Cole baby, both him and Britt are much better as heels. They're just natural heels. Mm-hmm. So, especially, I think it's more natural. I think Cole could be could do it well, go for babyface to heel. But Britt, just to me, I don't really buy her as a babyface. I think she's
especially
just better.
If you watch All Access, you sure don't buy her as a babyface.
Oh, I don't watch it.
Well, no, I don't either. But we only watch that one show. I think she's a great personality, but you know, booking her as a babyface and then have her, you know, being mad at Thunder Rosa on that show is kind of weird.
Yeah. But yeah, that's why I think it's also maybe not as working as well as they thought it was.
All right. Jade and Taya, they were not on Dynamite. So I think they're doing something on Rampage from what I heard from the tapings. I didn't see what the results were, the spoilers were, but I think they're doing something on that show.
Yeah, I think Jade, oh, sorry for people, just skip a little bit here, but if you don't want to see spoilers for Rampage, but here's spoilers for Rampage. I think Jade beats someone quickly, has an open challenge, beats that person, and then Taya comes and challenges her or something like that.
Oh, okay. So Yeah, I mean, it's been the best Jade stuff so far, so I'm totally fine with them redoing that match.
I always forget about Jade now, really, because when I don't watch Rampage, and she's barely on for even a promo now on Dynamite. Yeah. So what happens here? Does Taya just loses here? I mean, I don't see Taya being the one to beat her.
I think if she was a little more over to the fan base, you could make an argument, because physically, like, she looks the part of someone who could beat Jade, but I don't see it yet either. I don't know if that person is, like, obviously if you get a Mercedes Moné, you could see Mercedes beating Jade, and it would be worth it because Mercedes is a giant star. But on the current roster, I don't see anybody. I know people want Willow, and I think Willow is nice, and Willow is cheery, and Willow is fun. Nice. But Willow is not an ass kicker. Like, if someone needs to be an ass kicker to beat Jade.
But man, what does it say about, I don't know, if Mercedes just comes in and beats Jade? Like,
yeah, there is an aesthetics problem with that as well. But I'm saying that's the caliber of a woman who it's realistic. It's like, yeah, you have this big star, this great wrestler who comes in, and that person could beat Jade. Not
what if it's Wembley is title for title, Jade versus Jamie.
I'm for it. Let's do
it. And then if you want Mercedes Moné on the show, if you want a dream match and someone who could lose that, you know, Britt versus Mercedes, right? Or Mercedes and maybe you get Trinity. Mm-hmm. Mercedes and Trinity versus Britt and, you know,
Sheeta or
yeah, something like that. To maybe Toni Storm ends up being friends with her at that point. You never know, like, you know, because the big UK show, so I would assume they would want Toni on there too. You know, I know she's Australian, but right, she's Australian.
Yes,
yeah, but still, she has a really strong history in that market. So that. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, maybe a tag match will be fine instead of, like, you know, Mercedes doesn't have to be in a title picture. She can just be on the show.
So. All right. Main event of this show. And I hope this is the main event of the pay-per-view, too.
I would hope so.
Which is Anarchy in the Arena. How do we get to Anarchy in the Arena? Well, the poor Young Bucks just got beat up in the backstage by the BCC. The BCC's new gimmick on their shirt is Be Real. Not the rapper, Be Real, but just B-E-R-E-A-L. So I think it's kind of a message to some of the wrestlers. They're like, you guys act too fake. It's professional wrestling. Be real. Mm-hmm. Little double meaning there with the shirt. So Bucks get jumped left for Lang. These dastardly heels, these badass Blackpool Combat Club. And it's funny because when they do like the stuff where they jump guys, like Danielson's not really there. It's like, he must be like meditating in the back or something. They're like, hey, you know, he's not paying attention. Let's go get these guys. So the main event segment was an interview with Don. And, you know, we want to hear, why did you do it to Kenny? How could you do it to Kenny? And Don didn't really say his reasoning. He was just like, you know, you should have known what Kenny did to me and all this stuff. But Kenny gets so mad, he comes out. And he tries to get to Don, but he gets jumped by the BCC. So we don't know if Don is with these guys yet. That part wasn't part of the story yet. So we're saving that, I'm sure. And so then Moxley and Wheeler and Claudio are in the ring, and they're telling Kenny Omega, they're like, "Stay down, bro. Like, you don't want this. We're the real elite." And so then the Bucks come out and they're selling, you know, their attack from earlier. But then they bring some plunder with them. So they each grab a foreign object, and Kenny grabs the broom with the barbed wire on it. And so it's going to be 3-on-4. Heels are in the ring. Danielson's with them here. And then all of a sudden they're standing and they're waiting. They're about to march down, and Hangman's music comes out. Hangman is wearing an eye patch to remind us why he has been gone. And I thought that was good, because I almost was like, oh, yeah, he's gone because he got screwdrivered in the head. So he comes out, and then, you know, they clean house. Hangman cuts a promo, and I will say it was very short, but I was happy with the delivery. I was happy with the fire. And he basically said, we are the soul of this company, not you guys. And we want you at Anarchy in the Arena. And they all stand side by side. And I think Omega gave him the broom with the barbed wire before they marched down. So I thought it was good. It does feel like it's the real main event. They've been waiting to bring Hangman back. I thought they waited a little bit too long, but I think it worked on this show to end the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Moxley's face, you know, you see Moxley's face. He's selling it with the eyes. And my only worry is the last time they did this match, Bryan Danielson got a concussion. You know, and that's not cool. And from what I understand, a lot of those guys were hurting. So I hope that I know they're going to be hurting, but I just hope that people do not get injured during this match. So, but I was happy with the way the show ended.
Yeah. It was, I guess, the moment people were waiting for the league to be fully back together. I mean, that style match, that gimmick match is not my thing. I didn't like last year's. I thought a lot of people loved it, and I know Dave really rated it high, you know, but it wasn't for me. So, but I will admit it truly is the real main event at the pay-per-view for sure. So yeah, and it should go on last. It should be lights out, you know, make it the main event, make it the four-way, but this one should be lights out, right?
Yeah.
So that could explain that.
I hope so. I hope it's they have a good idea about how to do this. Do you think that this is not going to be the only one? Are we going to see a Blood and Guts as well?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So for you already mentioned what's going to be on the Take It Home podcast this week. I am going to do a quick Devin Haney, Lomachenko preview with the great Robert Silva. There's a big boxing match on this weekend. It will not sell like the Tank and Ryan Garcia fight from a few weeks ago when I last had Robert on.
Is this a pay-per-view?
It's a pay-per-view. ESPN Plus pay-per-view.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. I thought it was going to be on ESPN Plus. Okay. But it's not part of your service.
Yeah, I think you got to buy it.
Okay.
And then I'm trying to, I have a couple guys who are possibly going to join me from the UK scene, because I wanted to talk to somebody about this show, this Wembley show. Mm-hmm. And they're both out there, and somebody was telling me that he felt like the marketing was so strong in that area for the show that, like, a lot of people who don't follow wrestling anymore were asking him about it. So they're doing a good job there. And look, when you sell 60,000 tickets, you have to reach some of that segment of the fan base that doesn't necessarily pay attention day in and day out. So it sounds like they're doing a good job. Yeah, but I kind of want to talk about the Wembley stuff with somebody who is out there and who is going to go to the show. So that is my plan. You know, if I can get like 10 minutes with Big Dave to talk about CM Punk, I will try to do that as well for Fight Game Podcast Extra. But yeah, John and I hold down the weekends on the Fight Game Podcast free feed. So if you subscribe to that feed, you'll hear our shows this weekend. But next week on this show, we'll be back, and I'm sure we'll have some stuff to say about Night of Champions, the big Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes match, and I guess we'll end with this, but Roman and Solo for the tag team titles against Kevin and Sammy. That's an interesting match. I didn't think that they were going to go there. I didn't like Roman's promo. I thought he was off last week. Like,
really?
Yeah. I thought there was some stuff where he was kind of like not on his A game, but the stuff between him and the twins was really good.
I really liked it. I'm actually really excited for this Night of Champions. I'm not excited for the location, but beyond that.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Vegas, so I don't know how I'm going to watch. I know Dave's going to watch it. See, here's how I'll be able to watch some of it, because I think Crystal and the ladies, some of the ladies are going to do like spa day out there. And so I think that's on Saturday. So we'll do the Q&A with Brian and Dave. And then I think we're going to immediately run to one of the suites to watch the pay-per-view or the PLE. So I'll be able to watch some of it. I don't know if I'll be able to watch all of it, because once Crystal's done with the spa stuff, then we're going to go do something else. So,
man, I'm so jealous to knock out there to do that spa day too. I ain't watching no damn wrestling with a bunch of guys in that damn room. Not just kidding. No, but no, I'm really excited for this show. I really like the matches are exciting to me. Like, I have general interest in so far what's been announced. Like, I mean, I'm not super excited for the new world title belt, but Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles should be a really good match.
Yeah, that'd be a good match.
Brock and Cody, that's interesting. When they made this tag match, I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, that was a different, I didn't expect that. So looking forward to that and to see the result of that one, you know, would be interesting. I would think Solo is going to.
Do they have the balls to pin Roman in this match?
You better not waste it here. Oh my gosh. I can see the twins getting involved and costing Solo.
Yeah.
Maybe somehow, some way, but we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. And we'll see. Can they keep up this bloodline storyline, you know, without where they're pulling, you know, they're pulling everybody away from each other because of the brand split. Can they keep it alive? Can they keep it intriguing? Because it was the single most interesting thing, single most interesting storyline going. Mm-hmm. And they'll need, you know, Cody is still going strong, so that's definitely going to carry it on the Raw side, and Roman on the other side. So we'll see. I'm intrigued because, like, you know, I know that there was a lot of ideas and they got to WrestleMania, but usually this time period right now is kind of when they're like, oh man, what do we do?
Creative takes usually a dip around this time. Yes.
Yeah. But so far been okay. I'm still intrigued. So they, you know, but they, I know that it's going to be harder than the build to WrestleMania was. So,
yeah, yeah.
All right, we are done here. Appreciate all of you who listen to us weekly. Just a quick hat tip. John and I finish this show before we go to bed on Thursday evening before midnight on the West Coast. We're done, and I have that in the feed. So Friday morning, you know, you got to go to work or you wake up and you want to listen. It'll be there if you subscribe to the RSS feed. the website itself, because they are a news organization, F4W has news stories going up consistently. Our show may not go up on the website until much later in the morning. So the way to get it immediately is to subscribe to that RSS feed. And if you have any trouble with that, again, gg@fightgamemedia.com. I can help you with that. But yeah, I subscribe to the RSS feed for all the shows on F4W. But there's so many people who tell me, is the show up? And I'm like, yeah, show's been up for hours. And they're like, it's not on the website. I'm like, you wait and click on the little button on the website and listen to it on your computer. You don't listen to it on your phone. Like, so if you, you know, listen to it on your podcast player, that'll be the place where you get it the quickest, the fastest. And I can help you set up any feed. We're live, pal. Wrestling Observer Radio, Wrestling Observer Live, whatever you want. Josh Nason's show. Just let me know and I'll help you out. So, all right. For John, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.